and companion and invaluable menu consultant. John Meacham has been both my actual and my shadow editor for almost 2 decades. I will never be able to thank him enough for his clarity, his advice, though he claims I never take it, and for his steadfast friendship. Keith Meacham is herself an excellent editor and true blue friend and provider of luxurious safe harbor whenever I am in Nashville. My agent, Binky Urban, keeps the trains and me on track. It is no small feat, but she pulls it off with her usual grace and good humor. Too many people to name either appear on these pages or have inspired them. I am lucky indeed to be surrounded by so much love, support, and good humor, and so many stalwart hearts. Finally, I remain forever grateful that my father landed in the Mississippi Delta, the place I so happily call home, and that he convinced my mother to make a life with him there. They are two of the most extraordinary people I'll ever know.
Foreword. Tell me a story. In this century and moment of mania, tell me a story. Make it a story of great distances and starlight. Tell me a story of deep delight. Robert Penn Warren. The poet, novelist, and critic Robert Penn Warren wrote those lines in 1969, and they were published in a volume of his entitled Audubon. I am, it is true, a sucker for Warren. All the King's Men, the epic 1946 novel about Willie Stark, a Huey Long-like figure who seeks to do his best, albeit imperfectly, in a fallen world, remains perhaps the seminal book of my life. But I can honestly say that I have never encountered a finer description of the duty of the writer than the verse above. To tell stories of great distances, of starlight, and finally, of deep delight, however tragic and ultimately incomplete life may be on this side of paradise. The book you are reading now is in the Warren tradition of deep delight. With her distinctive voice, her sense of humor, and of humanity, and her persistent, if largely unacknowledged, for that would give away the game, good cheer about the world's great and small joys, Julia Reed has emerged as one of the country's most astute and insightful chroniclers of the things that matter most. Whether the topic is what we eat, how we live, or why we believe, Julia has, in her books and in her wildly popular column in Garden and Gun, pulled off what her fellow Mississippian William Faulkner set out to do when he said that he wanted to take a postage stamp of native soil of his fictional Yoknapatawpha County as a particular stage on which to dramatize great human themes. Julia's postage stamp, though, is even larger than Faulkner's. To switch metaphors, her canvas is the whole of the South, stretching from the dives of New Orleans up through her beloved Delta and winding up naturally in the northern reaches of Virginia at the Madeira School for Girls. Who else but Julia could be a trusted guide through such a sprawling mess of America, never putting a Manola Blahnik shod foot wrong in limning the triumphs and absurdities of culture? I can't think of a single soul. Whether her subject is Scotch whiskey, the opossum, or the mad politics, mournful music, and out-of-the-way cafes and bars of the South, Julia unerringly finds the universal in the particular. In a way, she's a foreign correspondent in her own land, giving readers dispatches about the sacred and the profane, and revealing, often subtly, the porous border between the two. The mark of a great journalist is the capacity to see what should be evident to everyone but somehow isn't. Not until a keener eye and a sharper sensibility casts fresh light on what lies before us in plain sight, suddenly giving readers the fabled flash of recognition. That's Julia's formidable gift. The gift, as Shelby Foote once put in a letter to Walker Percy describing the writer's craft, of teaching others how to see. Because of her, our vision is clearer, our senses heightened, our lives charmed and enchanted. And what more in the end, or even in the beginning, or in the middle, could we ask of a writer than that? Nothing. Nothing more. For decades, I have been struck by how many people come up to me to bear unsought witness to Julia's power. The readers of her work, who on learning that I am fortunate enough to be her friend, want to tell me how important, how wonderful, how indispensable they find her voice. That irreplaceable, unmatched voice is the one you will hear in the following pages.